All right. How was that for an intro for you? Here on the Saturday Night Special, I am Chris Jericho. And if you're wondering, where is he? Where is all the fancy studio machinations behind him? Well, it's because I'm not at home. I am at an undisclosed location on vacation. But I still have to do the Saturday Night Special because we're building up a fan base here. We're building up the advertisers. We almost had an advertiser last week, like I said, on the high school reunion show, but they pulled out in the last minute. So. And if you saw, I just opened up this this thing of club soda type stuff, and it sprayed over everything. It sprayed all over the screen. I'm completely unprepared for any of this, but you know what? That's what we like about the Saturday Special. We don't prepare anything. Had a crazy week. I got kicked off my Facebook page by Facebook, and I don't know why. I didn't say anything or do anything crazy, but it is what it is. But I said the only thing I was worried was hopefully I don't miss out on the Saturday Night Special. And so far, we did not. So it's a little bit sticky over here. I had to use my Lizzie Borden t-shirt to clean up the club soda. But anyways, we're here and we're rocking. And what a great day it is to get a chance to hang out with you once again, as we start with our customary cheers. Woo! Cheers to everybody out there watching in on YouTube and on Facebook. And thank you. I hope you guys are doing good. And I hope you guys are healthy and safe. As there's club soda everywhere. I mean, my goodness, this little thing just exploded. I didn't even shake it or anything, but whatevs, is what it is. Yeah, like I said, hopefully all you guys are doing okay. Had a pretty cool week this week on Dynamite. Hopefully you saw it. I did commentary for the first four matches. Had a lot of fun. Some gems were told. If you guys had some funny lines that I said on commentary this week, remind me because I don't remember anything. The one I remember was I said that when Jake Hager was beating up Orange Cassidy, I said, looks like Jake Hager's beating up a 15-year-old version of himself. They look so much the same. It's so funny. At some point, there has to be a Jake Hager and Orange Cassidy a tag team because they look like a big guy, little guy. It's like twins. It's like I'm looking into a mirror. And I just want to say this too, and I hopefully I never screw this up as I continue to work with Orange Cassidy, a very talented, very tremendous performer, super popular with all of you guys. And I always have a tendency to call him Juice. I think of Orange Cassidy and Juice Robinson, and I get them mixed up. So if I ever say Juice Cassidy and Orange Robinson, or Orange Juice and Robinson Cassidy, that would be a great name for an NXT guy. Like they have those really ridiculous soap opera names. Uh-oh. Sorry. there's your clickbait tagline. Jericho says NXT guys all have soap opera names. But Robinson Cassidy, that would be a killer name for a character. But I commentated, then I did the thing with Orange Cassidy, Blood Orange Cassidy, where we accosted him and beat him up with a bag of oranges. And people said, like, here's the crazy thing about that. A lot of people were like, oh, a bag of oranges, that's fine. But a couple of people were like, oh, yeah. That's a thing. What do you mean it's a thing? Yeah. People do that. They beat like people up like in jail or they like their relatives because oranges don't leave bruises. And I'm like, how do you know this? Like, it's not something that I thought about diabolically. Yes, if we hit him with oranges, it will not leave a bruise and it'll hurt him even worse. But I just did it because, yeah, orange, and actually it was someone else's idea. I can't say who, kayfabe, but we came up with the blood orange idea, and that's where Blood Orange Cassidy came from. So there will be a story with Blood Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho. I think we've already announced the match for Fighter Fest, and this next week. No, we haven't announced the match for Fighter Fest yet, but I think at some point either we'll be wrestling at Fighter Fest or sometimes afterwards. There's a couple other things going on too. Actually this week on AEW Dynamite, which is even better. Ooh, the Best Friends have put up their number one contendership against Le Sex Gods. So if Le Sex Gods beats the Best Friends, then we're the number one contenders. Like, can you imagine Le Sex Gods versus Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, right? So which match are they? Which match is coming up? Is it going to be Jericho versus Orange Cassidy? Maybe. Is it going to be the Sex Gods versus Kenny and Hangman after we beat the crap out of the best friends this week? We'll have to wait and see. I will say this, though. I appreciate the bond of the best friends, but the Sex Gods and the entire inner circle, we're not just best friends. We're blood brothers. Okay? Blood brothers. Like the blood that was streaming down the face of Blood Orange Cassidy. Okay? So keep all that in mind. It's a very cool story that we're telling here. It's a very cool web of entertainment for all of you. And as we wait and see until when we can have live fans back in the venue, we're just going to keep continuing to do great shows. I know a good friend of mine, Brad Williams, he's a comedian, actually going to be the guest host on the Jericho Cruise this year, which is a whole other thing. That's just gone through the roof, the Jericho Cruise triple whammy. But Brad is starting to have live comedy shows, and so are there a lot of comedians as well that are living in the LA area, and they're going to Arizona and to other places around the states. I believe Texas, Utah, a couple of the places. So there's a lot of places where they're allowing fans back into the venues. So hopefully at some point soon, very soon, we will have the same. And if not, we're still going to continue to put out amazing content for all you guys, because that's what we do. All right. Just like tonight, Saturday special. And we could have a guest. Last week, we had the high school reunion, which was hugely received with Dave Spivak. Don't call me Spiwi. Spiwi and Rybo, who were just amazing. We might do more stuff with them and just talk about random things, because apparently the chemistry was through the roof, and so was the reaction. But let's see. We've got some great comments already. We're doing a Q&A today, and because I'm Canadian, it's AEH. So it's the official Saturday Night Special Q&A. This whole hour, because last week we went a little bit long, but that's three old friends, 40-year friends, 45-year-old friends hanging out and reminiscing and having a great time. And so this week it's going to be a little bit more nugget encapsulated, but it's all about you. I'm talking to you right there. I'm talking to you, Santi Cineros from Facebook. I'm talking to you, Sterling273 from UK Hardcore. I'm talking to you, Andrew Cassini from YouTube. I'm talking about you, Dan Hettner from Facebook. Starting to talk like David Lee Roth from Van Halen. But let's put some questions up. The Q&A starts now. And if you got a song that we want to sing, throw it up there too. We're going to do a sing-along later. And you know how we do it. We're winging it by the seat of our pants. Like you saw me earlier. If anybody saw me earlier, I would never wear a bathing suit on the Saturday special. But you saw it on camera as I was quickly trying to arrange my set. But, you know, I said, you know, if I put a suit jacket on, along with a bandana, not a hanky, as my wife says. It's a bandana, Eddie Van Halen, 1984. It looks pretty cool, doesn't it? So that's my garb for today. And we're going to start answering some of your Q&As. Tammy Crenshaw Barksdale. Ah, yeah. Hey, Chris, between your wrestling career and music career, which are you more proud of? Of course, you're awesome at both. Thank you so much for asking that. Okay, I'll tell you what. It's interesting because people say to me, like, if you had a choice between this and this, which would you choose? If you had a choice between wrestling and music, which would you choose? And my answer is neither, because I don't have to, right? A little bit smart-ass answer. But when I was a kid, like 14 years old, cheers, guys. First drink of the night on camera. Oh, my gosh, that club soda is way too sweet. Oh, my friend Dan loves this Crystal Bay, but it's way too sweet. And don't give it too sweet. It's just sweet in the mouth. When I was a kid, I wanted to do both. And I thought, well, you know, if I can make both of them happen, then how cool would that be? And then when I was growing up as a teenager, there was a guy called Arnold Schwarzenegger. Maybe you've heard of him. He was the biggest bodybuilder of all time and then became one of the biggest action stars ever. And I thought, well, if Arnold could be a bodybuilder and actor, I could be a wrestler and a rock and roll singer. Like, it's not too far off, right? So I kind of used Arnold as my inspiration in a different way. Like, you can do two things if you put your mind to it and really work hard at it and have passion and desire and all that sort of stuff. So I will say this. It took me a long time to build my wrestling career to a main event top level position. But I feel the same way I do about Fozzy now as I did about Chris Jericho, the character, in about 2000 or so. So sky's the limit, and wait till you guys hear this new music that we're working on. Everybody always says, oh, it's going to be the best album of our career. But this literally is the best album of our career. I'm going to say that and be honest with you. And we haven't even tracked it. I've done four songs. All four of them are killers. One of them is Nowhere to Run. But, oh, my gosh. I don't even want to get into it. But, anyways, it's going to be amazing stuff. And hopefully you guys will be there to listen to us. DK216, I'm just going to go back and watch that soda explode. I'm sure there's going to be some memes this week of that sort of stuff. So, you never know what's going to happen here in the Sunday Session. But the questions are going by so fast. Stop it. It's hard for me to get these questions to go. Oh my gosh. Rob Minhas from Facebook says, any memories of the Saxon tour a few years ago in Vancouver? Well, funny that you should say that, Rob, because I've got a great memory of that tour with Saxon. So we toured back in 2013, maybe 2012, with British heavy metal legend Saxon. If you're familiar with the new wave of British heavy metal, it's kind of the era that birthed Def Leppard, Iron Maiden. Those are the two biggest bands, but there was kind of a wealth of kind of lesser known bands, but still very popular. And Saxon's probably at the top of the list. Saxon and Iron Maiden are pretty close to being the most amazing British heavy metal bands ever. So anyways, I'm a big fan. And I had met Biff, the singer, Biff Bifford. Yes, Biff, what a great name. JoJo and Biff. Shout out to the high school reunion last week. But so Biff was the singer, and we had this chance to tour together in the States. It was Saxon's first tour of the States in a few years, and they wanted to take a younger band, so they decided on us, and it was amazing. What a great tour. We had so much fun. I have never busted anybody's balls worse than I busted Biff Bifford's balls. And I have never had my balls busted worse than Biff Bifford busting my balls. There you go. My screen froze. And what I mean by that, we were just constantly insulting each other, but with the utmost of respect. I love Biff. He's a great singer. He's a very close friend of mine. But we had so much fun just railing on each other. It was terrible. So anyways, about a week into the tour, when we're on tour, I always make sure to have a chicken in the dressing room. Like, a lot of promoters want to give you pizza for dinner, like after the show. And Fozzy's a no pizza band. Like, we don't want pizza. We want something good. So usually whatever we're going to have, I always make sure that if you put on the rider, and there's always a bottle of this on the rider and always a roasted chicken. Therefore, I know I always have something to drink, something to eat. No matter what else is available, I have a roast chicken. So Biff came in the dressing room and he said, well, how come you got a chicken? Well, I have a chicken. I'm like, Biff, you've been touring since the freaking hundreds. You're the singer. Just go put on your rider that you want a chicken. Well, I can't believe it. So he has a different version of the story. But my version of the story is he was always complaining about not having chicken, to the point where we even made a rap song about it, the guys in Fozzy. And it was like, I love chicken. Where's my chicken? Give me chicken. Gong, 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 gong. I love chicken. I want chicken. Where's my chicken? Gong, gong, gong. I guess it'd be more like an industrial type thing. So Biff and I were always arguing over the chicken. Whose chicken is it? Is it my chicken? Is it your chicken? Where's my chicken? I want chicken. I love chicken. Gong, 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 gong. Give me chicken. I want chicken. I love chicken. Gong, 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 gong. So we go to Vancouver. It's the last night of the tour. And Saxon's flying home the next day. So I had our tour manager at the time, who's a real dolt, by the way. But we won't get into that. But I said, dude, get 5 roasted chickens and 5 silver platters. And so he went and did that, and he got 5 roasted chicken, 5 silver platters. And so when Saxon was finishing their show with the classic Wheels of Steel, they do a sing-along where they go, wheels! And they go, Wheels of Steel! All right, let me hear it again. So he's doing the sing-along, and the place is packed. It's a great crowd, as Rob will tell you. So we come on stage during the sing-along, all 5 of us, with silver platters with roasted chicken on them. And we go up to the guys. Of course, the guys are playing. The guitars aren't at the time, so the guitarist got some chicken. And Biff's like, Wheels of Steel! And looks over and sees us. He's like, you fucking wanker. And so we eat some chicken, and we throw the chicken in the crowd. Rob, you might have even gotten a piece of the chicken. Where's my chicken? I love chicken. Give me chicken. Gong, 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 gong. And that was the end of the tour. So when Biff came back, because the end of a tour is always a special time where you want to have pranks, you know? And Biff was like, oh, I was going to get you. I was going to get a bunch of pillow feathers and put fans on the side of the stage and shoot the pillow feathers at you. I'm like, but you didn't, Biff. We win. We got you with the chicken. So that's a great memory. And also my Auntie Donna was there, which was awesome too. So I love chicken. Give me chicken. Where's my chicken? It's gone, 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 gone. All right. Here's a good one. All right. Here's a good one. When you first started wrestling, Chris, from Bruce on Facebook, as you guys can see, who was your very first opponent? Well, that would be Lance Storm. And I just did a great podcast with my friend Jesse Cage. It's called First Match. Go look it up wherever you listen to podcasts. We talked for about an hour about my first match. But the best part was it was October 2nd, 1990 at the Pinoca Moose Hall in Pinoca, Alberta. And that situates somewhere in between Edmonton and Calgary. So the best part was is that when I did this match, I thought like, oh my gosh, like there was probably 100 people there. And I remember I had a guy on the ground. What you used to do is you would put a guy's arm on the ground and you would give him a knee on the arm. Ah, and then I said, you want me to do it again? And some kid went, yes. And another kid went, yeah, do it again. And I was just like, all right, I'm doing it for you. So like, I was super excited that some people in the crowd were kind of like, you know, reacting to what I was doing. And afterwards we went to the dressing room of the Pinoca Moose. I remember Lance was like, oh my God, you were like Hulk Hogan out there. I was like, I can't believe it. They responded to me. And that was Chris Jericho. They wanted to call me Cowboy Chris Jericho from Casper, Wyoming. And I was like, why? I'm like, why you look like a cowboy? I'm like, I hate cowboys. Like, nothing. I don't hate cowboys. To all the cowboys out there, kisses and love, peace and love. But I didn't want to be a cow. I don't want to be a cowboy. And my friend Brett Coma just said, well, just don't do it. And I was like, I have an option. Yeah, don't do it. Don't be a cowboy. So, but I was still listed in the program as Cowboy Chris Jericho from Casper, Wyoming. And if anybody in the world has that program besides me, it'd probably be worth nothing, but it'd still be cool to have. So it's Cowboy Chris Jericho from Casper, Wyoming versus Lance T. Storm. And you know what the T stands for? Thunder. Oh, yeah. And October 2nd, 2020, this year is going to be my 30th anniversary. I've got some special plans for you guys, which we'll work on and I'll tell you about later. Oh, my gosh. These questions go by. I had a good question. I lost it. Jeez Louise. Oh, my gosh. I have to just start. If I'm answering your question and switch to another one, that's because too many people asking questions. And if I don't switch on it quickly, I'll lose it. Carolyn Baldwin wants to know, hey, Chris, what's your favorite Avenged Sevenfold song? Great question. So many great tunes. One of my favorite bands from the 2000, 2010 era. I still got to go with Beast and the Harlot. It's a great tune. It's the song, the first Avenged Sevenfold song I ever heard. Well, I heard Backcountry on the radio, but then I bought City of Evil. That was the first one that comes up, obviously, because it's the opening track. I also love Nightmare. Great tune. I actually brought my favorite of all time, though, is probably Little Piece of Heaven, written by the late, great Jimmy Sullivan, the Rev. That's such a great tune. There's so many vocals and so much great stuff on that. And I actually have a surprise coming up for you guys, a song that I recently did with a member of Avenged Sevenfold. Which one is it? That's up to you guys to decide. Alexis Turner from Facebook. Ooh, Alexis, ooh. What's your favorite, all-time favorite feud and storyline in your career? So many. The first one that pops to mind is the Shawn Michaels feud from 2008. That was something that was just supposed to be a one-night moment that turned into 7 months, culminating in us having a ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Loved that storyline. Loved Jericho and Big Show as a team. Loved Jericho versus Rey Mysterio. I also loved Jericho versus Kenny Omega story to get us to the Tokyo Dome. But right here, right now, I can also say that probably my favorite storyline over the last few years, well, the Kevin Owens, the list, and the best friends was great. But Moxley, Jericho, Moxley, and AEW. Such a great, great, great feud. And it was planned out and pieced out week by week and just culminated perfectly. And here's the funny thing, if you think about it. All of this happened. I think the paper was February 27th where Moxley beat me. And 2 weeks later, live shows shut down. So here's my thing about the COVID era. We've still been working our asses off, like I said earlier, to put on great shows and great performances. But if you're talking about actual crowd reactions, Moxley, never been in front of a crowd as a champion. Very few times. The first few weeks of his reign. Matt Hardy, never been in front of the crowd in AEW. Lance Archer, same thing. I know he was there once walking through the crowd. Doesn't count. Brody Lee, same thing. Brian Cage, same thing. FTR, same thing. So we're really working hard to make sure that we can keep the ball rolling. But when the fans come back, these guys are going to be huge, huge baby faces. And I'm very excited to see where it goes. Kerry Alonto, who would be your dream matchup? Anyone from Pro Wrestling history? Owen Hart, for sure. I would love to have been in the ring with Owen Hart. One of the reasons why I went to WWE, if you had the top 10 reasons why I went, I would say that probably working with Owen Hart was one of those reasons, probably closer to 9 or 10. And you guys, if you didn't see Dark Side of the Ring, you'll see that I drew a picture when I was a kid of me and Owen Hart as the tag team champion. So very much wanted to work with Owen, and also would have loved to have worked with Brett as well. So the two Hart brothers are the guys that I would have loved to have been around. So Josh Teeter from Facebook. We need some YouTube questions coming up after this. Are you a Danzig fan at all? I know Glenn Danzig is a huge wrestling fan. Yes, very much. I'm not a huge Danzig fan musically. Obviously, I love Mother and Dirty Black Summer and her Black Wings. He's got some killer stuff there. But to me, Danzig's always been very cool to me. I've met him quite a few times. Had him on Talk Is Jericho a few years ago. But my favorite Danzig story is 1994 when I was working for Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I went and saw, I believe it's called the Get Out of the Studio Tour 94 or Summer Shit Tour or something. It was Metallica, Danzig, and Suicidal Tendencies. So I went to see them by myself, and I just happened to have the day off. There was a guy called Cat Collins, who was a radio DJ in Atlanta, and he ended up being the manager of the Black Crowes. So he was in the scene. He was also involved with Smoky Mountain Wrestling, because as you know, it's not a secret now, but Smoky Mountain Wrestling was actually owned by Rick Rubin. Yeah, that Rick Rubin, the famous producer, did 10 cotillion great albums, from Chili Peppers to Danzig to Slayer to Johnny Cash to Neil Diamond to whatever, you know, AC/DC, he's done it. So for some reason, Cat Collins had the connection, so he says, you got to come up and see the show. So I went up and saw the show, and I met Danzig, and I couldn't believe how short he was the first time I met him, because he looks so buff in all his promo pictures. So I was like, oh my gosh, he's really short, but super friendly, super nice. And so then there's a guy called Rob Dibble that was in there. Rob Dibble was a pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, maybe. Not sure if he was a pitcher. He was on the Cincinnati Reds. So he's like, dude, we gotta go hang. So me, Rob Dibble, Danzig, and like, I can't remember who else, maybe some roadies or something, no members from Metallica or something like that. And we go to the Cincinnati Stadium, whatever it's called, where the Cincinnati Reds play. And it was a limo. And I drove up in my, what was I driving at the time? Like a 93 Pontiac Sunbird. And he's like, yeah, come in my limo. So we go in his limo and we're like, where are we going? He's like, yeah, we're going to go to the Cincinnati Stadium. So we go to the Cincinnati Stadium, baseball stadium, and there's a guard at the door at the gate, and he's like, Rob, come on in. So we go inside the stadium and like drinking. Have you ever had like a dream of like, okay, I'm gonna drink at the pitcher's mound at the Cincinnati Stadium? Did it. I'm gonna, you know, whatever, the here, there, whatever. How about pissing on home plate? Is the statute of limitations run out on that? I may or may not have peed somewhere, not necessarily on home plate, but somewhere in that vicinity. So the essence of Chris Jericho lives on in the Cincinnati Stadium, thanks to basically Metallica. Is that a good enough answer for you? Nishan Akwabani. There you go, buddy. Chris, here we go. Crifton Snowden, what's your favorite championship you've won? Obviously, the AEW championship. We started this company from nothing. All we had was the passion of Tony Khan and a group of guys whose contract all happened to be up at the same time, who had no desire to live under anybody else's system and wanted to create our own. And that's what we did. So I getting the chance to become the first AEW champion was a big deal for me and something I take very, very seriously. It's a big honor. Championships are always, of course, appointed, shall we say, but it's like winning an Oscar. When your peers and your bosses and your body of work and your performances allow you to win an Oscar, it's a big, big deal. And that's kind of what I felt by winning the AEW championship, or any world champion for sure. Let's see. Oh my gosh, this is a good one. John Davis, any favorite Australian rock bands? I think you'd really like Ocean Grove, a local band. I have not heard Ocean Grove, but I love Australian rock and roll, and I love touring Australia. Fozzie always has so many great shows in Australia, great crowds, great fan base. Obviously, AC/DC, the greatest Australian rock and roll band of all time, even though the guys were transported from England and Scotland, but it's kind of Australia's lineage. In Excess, another huge influence on me. I love, 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 love Michael Hutchence. If Michael Hutchence had not passed away, In Excess would still be one of the biggest rock and roll bands in the world. They'd be playing arenas right now. I'm telling you, rock my words, mark my words. Also, Airborne. I love Airborne. I would love to do a Fozzie Airborne tour. I think it's a great mix. Just two bands, just skids, just total rock and roll. How high can you climb up the stadium wall, that sort of thing. So yeah, hopefully we'll get a chance to come back to Australia soon and hopefully get a chance to rock with Airborne as well. Great questions, guys. Keep them coming, please. Thank you. Adrian G. Del Mundo from Facebook. The next one, I promise, is going to be a YouTube question. Who's your favorite WWE tag team partner? Very easy. Hands down, Big Show. Move on. I love working with Big Show. We had so much fun. We were almost like an old married couple. He'll tell you this, be like, "Oh, what's going on? What are we doing on the show today?" Like, put on your glasses. It's right there. Put your glasses on. I don't want to put on my glasses. Just put them on. And like, he'd be like, "Yeah, I've got an idea." And he'd tell me his idea. I'm like, "Yeah, that's a great idea. Just my idea is better." Like, "Oh, sure. I'm just going to sit in there like a big dumb giant." I'm like, "You're not dumb. You're not dumb. You're fine. It's just my ideas are better than yours, man." But great chemistry, and that was a thrown-together tag team. Edge and I were a tag team. And Edge, by the way, check out Edge versus Orton in the greatest wrestling match ever this Sunday at Backlash. Check that out. But Edge and I were a team, and we won the titles. And the very next show, he gets injured in San Diego, and he tears his Achilles tendon. Very, very painful injury, by the way. I've never done it, but I've come close to it, and I've heard it's just terrible. And it takes a long time to heal, 6 months or whatever. So Edge was out, and Vince didn't want me to abscond the titles. To what do they say when you relinquish the titles? So he wanted me to have another partner. I said, "That's fine," but I knew we were going into a feud with DX, Shawn Michaels and Triple H, and I was like, "Okay." So some of the ideas, we're going to put you with a young guy, but you can't put me with a young guy that's never done anything, because those two guys will eat him the fuck alive. The guy that I'm with has to be a former world champion, and he has to be big, because if I'm going up against Shawn and Hunter and knowing their promo skills and knowing how they work, and of course, they're two of the greatest of all time, that's how they do things. If we don't have somebody that can talk and that's big and that has a history, it's not going to work. So I suggested Kane. Vince suggested Big Show, and Show will tell us that it was like he was bopping on. He was like the Show of Mania, doing the Hulkamania thing, and he was imitating other wrestlers and all this other stuff. And I was like, "Dude, if we're doing Big Show, that's cool." But I was really broken down, bummed out when Shad Gaspard passed away, and I was looking for a picture of us, because Big Show and I worked Crime Time quite a few times, and I wanted to find a picture, so I couldn't find a picture, but I found like a hot tag that he got where he just beat the shit out of me. He looked great. It was awesome. Then he does, like, I go for the walls, he flips me out of it, I end up in the ropes, and I get punched in the face by the ringside enforcer, who is Shaquille O'Neal. And I'm like, how the hell do you not remember getting punched in the face by Shaq? But that's how things work. Things got to go by so fast. great times with Show and great times with Shag Asper. God bless you, buddy. Sean Stapleton from YouTube. What Fozzy songs would you recommend to someone that's never heard you guys besides Judas? Well, we have five top 30 songs. Judas was number five. Painless was number eight. Nowhere to Run was number 10. Burn Me Out was number 18. And Let's Go was number 29. So those are the songs you should probably listen to, and Sandpaper. All of them have great music and videos to go with that. So thank you so much from somebody on YouTube. And I missed that one. Sorry. Donald Skeens. Hey, Chris, if you could put together a dream band, who would you choose? Could be alive or dead. This is such a hard question. So hard to try and oh my God. I had a dream once that I was playing guitar on the Stones and I didn't know the songs. That sucked. But let's just go dream band from guys that have passed away. Can we do that? Is that cool? So I will put Dio, Ronnie James Dio on vocals. Okay. Malcolm Young on rhythm guitar. Randy Rhoads on lead guitar. Cliff Burton on bass. Fuck it. Let's say the Rev. Jimmy Sullivan on drums. That's it right there. There you go. Or maybe Eric Carr. Two drummers like the Allman Brothers. The Rev and Eric Carr. Cliff Burton. Malcolm Young. Randy Rhoads. Ronnie James Dio. Imagine the jams they could get that. Okay. Kelly Cox, were you disappointed they waited to introduce the newly designed Undisputed Belt until after Triple H beat at WrestleMania? Whatever. I mean, it's champagne problems, right? Oh, how bad was it that I had to carry around two titles? And by the way, here's the best part. I was the last guy to have the classic Eagle WWE Heavyweight Championship, because when Triple H got the Undisputed one, it was done. So that to me is still the best looking championship besides the AEW Championship. I'm not saying that because I worked there. In WWE, the best championship ever looks-wise was that Eagle Championship. And they got rid of it, and all the ones after that have not been cool, in my opinion. TJ Brule, what's your favorite thing about Kevin Smith? Nicest guy in the world, and not that I'm freaking De Niro, but as a director, he is the best. He's super open to your ideas. He lets you be creative. He's almost like an AEW director. He lets you call the shots. He lets you be creative. He lets you decide what the character is. And just the sweetest guy, man. What a great guy. And we're going to do some more stuff as well with our Grains and Greens podcast. And what that is us watching movies together. You got to listen to the Damien Omen 2 watch along from episode 666 of Talk is Jericho. All right, here's someone who paid some money. Hold on, I might have screwed that up. Oh, from YouTube, A Wrestling Historian. How long did it take you to write a Lion's Tale, Undisputed, Best in the World, and No is a four-letter word? Thanks, dude. It's a long time. Writing a book takes about a year. It's a long process. And anybody who thinks that authors are getting rich, unless you're Stephen King or something, it's not a lot of money. Like the per hour revenue is it's not good. But it doesn't matter. You don't do it for the money. I don't do anything for the money. I do it because I love telling the tale, spinning the tale. It takes about a year, though. It does. It really does. From Genesis to kind of writing the initial manuscript and kind of then retooling it. That's what I was looking for. It takes a long time, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of man hours, shall we say. So I would say to write a book, it probably takes a good 6 months of probably 4 or 5 hours a day times four, carry the 10,000 hours to write a good book, probably something like that. But it's worth it. And all very proud of all four of my books. The only thing I'm not proud of was that someone else read Best in the World at What I Have No Idea. And that's because I had a breakdown with the audio book company who were making some ridiculous demands and wanted me to go to LA for 3 weeks to read this book. I'm like, why can't I just do it in Tampa? And they're like, no, you can't do it. I'm like, you know what? I'm out. You know, go F your ass. I'm not doing it. So they got some Shakespearean actor, and there's like, and then Chris Jericho came to the ring and he fought Rey Mysterio until Rey beat him with the 619. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't think I heard about that? That it was, I didn't say 619. I didn't read the damn thing. I did read Noah's a four-letter word, and oh my gosh, that is super hard to read. Noah's a four-letter word. Oh my God. Read any book. Think about just reading a book on tapes. You can't mess it up and you got to read it out loud. Not easy work to do, man. Thank you. Waleed Al-Riashi, what finisher did you hate being on the receiving end of the most? And by the way, it's stormy outside, so if we lose internet again, I apologize. We're going to keep going for another 50 minutes or so because I am here for you. Big Show's chokeslam, super, super tough. Stephanie McMahon's slap is the stiffest move I have ever experienced in wrestling history. So there you go. Oh, my goodness. David Hurry, Jericho on vacation. Yes, I am on vacation. Okay, let me say this. Jordan from Facebook, where do you think your feud with Ken Shamrock could have gone? I'm not sure because Ken was tough to work with. And I say that because at the time I was very green to what WWE was. And now I could probably have a great match with Ken. But at the time, a little bit of a loose cannon. And I was a little bit intimidated. I didn't have pure confidence. Jeez, I didn't have confidence for the 10 years after I worked with Ken. I felt bad that our feud got kind of ended in the middle. But look at how it was booked, though. Booked in a shark cage. You know, Russo wanted me to be the 99-98 Chris Jericho from WCW in WWE. And that's not how you fight Ken Shamrock, by hiding in a freaking, you know, shark cage where he's coming out and beating up Howard Finkel and all that sort of stuff. And just didn't work out. But Howard Finkel, God bless you, man. What a brother. And Ken Shamrock, he looks great. I'm glad he's back in Impact, and nothing but respect. Michael Terragrossa, best concert you ever went to? Wow. It's hard to say, man. Like, when I was a kid, a Striper in 88 in Fargo, North Dakota, opening band White Lion was great. David Lee Roth, Eat 'Em and Smile Tour was so amazing. 1987. How about this? 1984, Power Slave, Iron Maiden. My second or third concert, still one of the best gigs of all time, one of the best tours of all time, with Twisted Sister opening when they were at their peak. But for modern days, I love going to see the Stones. I love going to see McCartney. But I think maybe the Stones. I love the Stones live now because you still got the four brothers. You know, McCartney's amazing, but it's Paul. The Stones are still Mick, Keith, Charlie, and Woody. I mean, how can you go wrong with that? It's a drag because it's July, or what is it, June, whatever day it is today, June 15th or 16th, June 13th. Oh, sorry. I've been telling my wife we were supposed to go see the Stones next week. I'm totally wrong. We're supposed to see the Stones the beginning of July, I believe. And I'm so bummed out that I'm not going to go see them. So, but COVID's not going to kill the Stones. They'll be back next year, and I'll be back too. So there's some good ones. Please answer me if you're possible, says Brandon Seaman. Are you ready for Halloween Kills? Yes! I love the new Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis. She, like Laurie Strode, she is Halloween. Mike Myers is great. Well, not Mike Myers. Michael Myers. Although, it would be great. Here would be a great twist. How about if Mike Myers plays Michael Myers? Come on. There's the movie right there. But Halloween Kills, I think, is it coming out this Halloween? There's some holes there, but come on, you leave your plot hole intelligence at the door. Are you disappointed you never got another segment with The Rock after you came back 2011? The answer is absolutely yes. Hated it. Don't understand why they didn't put us together. We had gold. It was gold, Jerry Gold. One of my favorite opponents of all time. And I think he would say the same. So I don't understand why they never put us in a segment. But once again, that's WWE, and I don't work there anymore. So, you know, it is what it is. I always enjoyed working there, though, and I always enjoyed working with my favorite opponents of all time. What's your nastiest wrestling-related injury you've ever had? Before, I broke my arm trying a shooting star press because Ultimo Dragon convinced me I could do it, and I was so bummed out that I couldn't do it. So I finally tried it in an empty arena in Knoxville, Tennessee, the night of Night of the Legends, and I broke my arm. Still got the scar right there. Ashley Michelle Brown on Facebook. Hello, Ashley. Is there anyone not on AEW you would love to see to come to AEW? Well, there's a few. The cool thing about AEW is we're obsessed with building our own talent and our own stars. I think we've done that fairly well. I mean, with Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Moxley's a whole new guy, Brody Lee. You can see Jungle Boy, MJF. We're building these guys, basically either building them back up again. Cody's a perfect example. He's a huge star for us right now that wasn't in WWE or anywhere else. So you can see that we're building up names. If there's anybody out there that had a wish list that I could get, I mean, Roman Reigns, I've said it before, I think he's one of the best talents in the world. He's a great wrestler. He's super funny. He's such a cool guy, which is great. And I think if they would just let him be him, that people would be into that. So I would love to see Roman with us. So there you go. Paul Rogers. I heard Paul Rogers from Bad Company out in the road. How's that go? Bad Company to the day I die. Paul Rogers right there. How come you don't laugh when you're announced as, it's not the sex gods, it's the sex gods. When the cameras are facing those, of course I'm grinning. I'm out there with Sammy Guevara singing his ass off, singing Judas. We were not happy that our entrance was cut this week. Hopefully that never happens again. When you have a brilliant singer, a songsmith like Sammy Guevara, you don't cut him off. You let him sing. You let him sing his mockingbird tones into the middle of the night. So, how could you not smile? It's a great gimmick. I love Le Champion. And it's funny because a lot of people are saying it's actually Le Champion with an S. I'm like, I know that's the gag. If you're French from Quebec in Canada or French-speaking in Canada or from actual France, I know it's not Le Sex Gods. It's Le Sex Gods. But the gag is that we just cross those sex guys. It's Le Champion. You get it? You understand? So that's what we got there. Moses Perez says, are you going to kick Mike Tyson's ass? Damn straight I am. What kind of an ass kicking is Mike going to get, though? That's the question that we want to know. We're still working out some details, and hopefully things will come through, but I'm willing to do anything. You want to do a wrestling match? Done. Got it. You want to do a boxing match? Fine. I can box. I've been doing boxing and kickboxing for the last 2-3 years, and I could probably beat somebody at my own skill level, but if it's Mike Tyson, I mean, obviously that's different level stuff, but I've been knocked out by a lot worse than Mike Tyson, so I wouldn't be ashamed of that at all. Or a street fight. I think a street fight would be amazing. I think that would be something that I would love to do as well. So lots of cool stuff going on with that. So hopefully we'll get a chance to do more with Mike. And that is my goal, and that's what we're working on. So, all right, as we keep moving down the line over here, I've heard this quite a bit. Hold on a second. Jesus Alberto Lopez Ramirez. Jesus Alberto Lopez Ramirez. Le Champion, if you had an opportunity to face some actual Mexican luchador, who would it be? Who ill be? Well, I worked in Mexico for many years. I posted a picture on Instagram this week of this great picture of me and Negro Casas. And Negro was a very, very whimsical type of guy. He's a smaller guy, but he's probably like the Ric Flair of Mexico. Like, if you're talking about who's the best luchador in Mexican history, I'd say Negro Casas in a second. One of my early mentors. And he taught me this. We had this great story, this great piece of advice that he gave me. I was standing on the top rope. He was standing on the top rope, and he was supposed to do a headbutt on me, and I was supposed to move. Problem is, when he went for the headbutt, I didn't move, and he kind of landed beside me and didn't hit me. And I was so embarrassed. Like, I didn't move out of the way for Negro Casas. Like, kind of a loser am I. And Negro was fine. Like, when I talked to him after, he's like, it's fine. I went and told the announcers, because it was taped, that just to say that Negro was dizzy from the beating that you gave him, so he didn't quite see, and everything's okay. But I was just super embarrassed. And he said, hey, what's wrong? I said, I can't believe I missed out, and I can't believe I didn't move. And he said, it's okay. He said, today is one day. Tomorrow is a new match. So take what you learned today and apply it tomorrow and forget about it. Don't dwell on it, is basically the same. And I was like, you know what? That's a pretty good thing. So even this day, when I have little mistakes or things go wrong, you take that lesson, you learn, and you move forward, and you don't let it hang you up. Don't obsess about if you make a mistake. It's live, you know? So good little advice there from Negro Casas. So I would love to face Negro Casas again, but obviously I think Pentagon and Phoenix are two of the best that we have in AEW.
Pentagon's currently still stuck in Mexico, and Phoenix is in San Diego. I think he has some injury issues from that dive he did a few weeks ago. And I think that I would love to have matches with both of them, with Sex Gods versus Penta Phoenix, or Jericho versus Phoenix, Jericho versus Pentagon. I think we'd have a lot of fun there. All right, Keith Ballard, go Hawks. If the WWE offer you a one-time deal for SummerSlam for performances, you well, A, I can't because I'm under contract for the next little while, and B, I don't think so. I wouldn't be into doing a one-off for anybody, especially WWE. And I hope to be with AEW for a long, long, long time. So I hope that answers your question. Cody Bush, I'm very excited to see at the Iron Horse Saloon in Sturgis Motorcycle Rally 5-6. I think it's actually in August. All of our July shows got postponed, but the Sturgis one apparently is still on. So if the show is there, we'll be there. I don't know under what circumstances, but we will be there. So hopefully I'll get a chance to see you there. Bob Schaefer, I became a fan of your back in ECW. Any cool stories? Oh my gosh, there's a million cool stories. Oh my gosh, let me think of a good one. I think the biggest thing I remember about ECW is just the attitude. Like, it was us versus them to the nth degree. And I tried to get into ECW for years. Well, about a year, let's say. I started calling Paul Heyman, I think, in the Christmas season of 94 for a full year. And I got all the excuses. The few times I got him where he answered, I'd be like, hey, is Paul Heyman there? Who's this? It's Chris Jericho. Hey, Chris, this is Paul's roommate, Dave. He's not here right now, but when he comes in, I'll tell him to give you a call. Meanwhile, the guy's like, oh, this is his roommate, Dave, and I'll be make sure that he gives you a call when he returns. It's so Paul Heyman. I'm like, dude, I can totally tell that it's you. But anyways, and I would never hear back from Paul. And then another time I answered, and I'd be like, he answered. I'm like, hey, it's Chris Jericho. I will be right off the – I've got Jimmy Snuka on the other line. I will call you right back. Of course, he never did. So he finally did get a hold of me. He actually got Chris Benoit to call me one day in about the summer of 95. And he's like, it was a Friday morning. And he goes, hey, can you be in Philadelphia tonight? And I'm like, what? He goes, can you be in Philadelphia tonight? I'm like, tonight? Like, I'm in Calgary. Calgary to anywhere is not like, you know, a 5-hour trip. So I try and find it. I can't get any flights that can get me there. And I guess the idea was he wanted me to work with Ultimo Dragon. And I'm like, I'm done. Like, I lost my chance. I was supposed to be there tonight. I missed my shot. Now I'll never get another chance again. And finally, a few months later, I call him, and this is about December of 95. And he's like, hello. I'm like, oh, this is Chris Jericho. Lionheart Chris Jericho. I've been trying to get a hold of you for a whole year. I'm like, bullshit. I've called you 15 times. Anyways, the time was right for me to go in there, and I went in. And people think of me as like an ECW guy, but I was only actually there for 12 weekends. Or 11 weekends, aka 22 matches. I think it started in like February of 96, and I ended it in May of 96 when I got the gig with WCW. But yeah, it was quite the time. Or another time, I slept in at the Travelodge Inn. Those who know. Talk about a den of scum and villainy, whatever the Star Wars quote is. That was definitely the Travelodge Inn at ECW in Philly after the ECW shows. And I slept in, and I called the airline to change my flight. And I slept in, and they're like, oh, we're so sorry, Mr. Irvin. I'm like, what? We're so sorry. What are you talking about? We're so sorry that your brother-in-law died, and you have this bereavement fare. And I'm like, what? You have a bereavement fare? Bereavement fare. I'm like, oh, yeah, bereavement fare. Have you guys ever heard of a bereavement fare before? Apparently, if somebody dies and you have to leave quickly to get somewhere to the funeral, they give you a cheap ticket. They give you like a discount. And that's how Paul was booking my flights from Calgary as bereavement fares. So I had to figure out who exactly died to get there. So there you go. Shazwan Razi Seifel. Sorry if I butchered that name. I apologize. Are there any Japan Pro Wrestling stars you want to be in AEW? I'd love to do a feud with AEW, in New Japan. I'd love to work with Tanahashi again. What a genius. Okada, Naito. I think that Kenny and Jericho versus Okada and Tanahashi is a main event at Tokyo Dome. Or Tana and Ibushi, whatever you choose. I think that match right there alone is big enough to sell at the Tokyo Dome. So there's a lot of stuff that we could do. And once the world gets back to normal, or whatever the new normal is, where we start having shows with fans in them, I would really like to continue working on the New Japan AEW relationship. Ruben Gonzalez, Who Am I to Kill a Stranger? Great tune, great band, great wrestler. Nice to see you, Crystal. Thank you, Ruben. That's a oldie but a goodie. We've been playing that a little bit on our VIP sets. And before this tour actually kept getting postponed, that was actually in the live set as we're in between albums. We were going to put To Kill a Stranger back in there. We've actually played it on the cruise this year, which was a blast. William Brown says, Chris, you should hold every AEW title at once. Well, I agree. I wish you were booking, right? Let's see. Oh my gosh, there's so many questions here. Gosh, it just keeps going. Oh goodness, how do you like how Tony's running AEW versus Vince running WWE now? I love it. I love how Tony runs it because basically we're all very much creative, getting a chance to be creative. There's no real holdups for anybody. As far as creativity, you can be as creative as you want to be. And we basically book all the stuff together. You don't have to wait for approvals and all that sort of stuff. Working for Vince is great. He's a genius, obviously. WWE is a huge juggernaut. They have been for 40-odd years. That's never going to change. I think AEW's done a great job, though, in a very short time at providing a great alternative. And that's the secret word, alternative. We're not competition. We don't worry about anybody else. We worry about ourselves. And I think that it's been a breath of fresh air, considering that we were going very strong up until, you know, March 11th was the last live show we had. I remember it succinctly. I think I told this story last week, but I'll tell it again. When I went to the ring at 9:40, we were still talking about Rochester on the 18th and Newark on the 25th. And when I came back from the ring 20 minutes later, the NBA had canceled the season and Tom Hanks had been diagnosed with the Rona and everything else had been canceled. Rochester was canceled and New York was canceled. It was a shame because Rochester was supposed to be the double debut of Matt Hardy and Brody Lee. And then of course, 25th was going to be blood and guts, but you got to do what you got to do. So I appreciate how we are doing things and we're getting up and running. We're rolling. People are excited. And I think when we get back into the arenas, I think people will really have decided who they like best, like an Orange Cassidy. I think if there's people in the arenas right now, he'd be getting huge babyface reactions and deservedly so. So Vince is great, but I really appreciate working for Tony right now. And I have no intentions of ever going anywhere else. Matt Davis, do you still have the fish tank from Tank? No, we don't. And I'm going to out them right now. We got this wicked fish tank. If you guys watched the show Tanked, and they came to our house and my wife was in it and then my kids were in it. My son was super excited. He's kind of a fish guy. And they made this beautiful tank that kind of had the list was in there and the Jericho jacket. And then as soon as they yell, and this is a great tank. And thank you so much, Chris Jericho. Cut. See you later, guys. And they split. And then they drain the water down. They take the fish out. And then you're left with kind of like the cesspool that now they have to figure out a way to make the chemicals of the water and the fish's existence balance so that the fish don't die. And it was just a nightmare. The fish kept dying and they sent more fish and then they send some guy to clean it and then the next guy to clean it. And it's just one thing after another. So we ended up, when we sold our old house, we basically just gave the thing away. And it was a fun show to do. It was a great hour of TV. My family enjoyed it, but the after effects of the tank were just not cool, not great. So I don't think the show is on anymore because I think that happened to quite a lot of people. I know it happened to Howie Mandel. I think it happened to Titus O'Neil. So there's a lot of chicanery going on there on Tanked. Kevin Stegall, what's your favorite Beatles album? Love you, buddy. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. What's my favorite Beatles album? I'd say probably Desert Island would be probably White Album or Abbey. Let's say Abbey Road. I think Abbey Road is kind of the best Beatles album for so many reasons. This was when they had already made Let It Be, even though Let It Be came out after Abbey Road. Abbey Road was kind of when they got back together. They did not use George Martin, their longtime producer on Let It Be. So they said they used Phil Spector, and they said, we're going to do one more record. It has to be with George. And of course, the way that the track listing is ending off with the medley at the end. And in the end, the love you take, make take is equal to the love you make, whatever it is. What a great ending to the career of the Beatles. Even though as time goes on, I'm super obsessed with the Stones because they've been so great for 50 years. It's hard to say that there's nobody better than the Beatles. And there might be a possible sing-along tonight, Come Together. I mean, gosh, Lord knows we need to come together. If we're going to talk about Abbey Road and the Beatles, that might be a good sing-along. Hey, Chris, is the Fozzy concert on July 12th at the Forge in Joliet still on? I asked because I want to know if I should bring the toilet costume to the show. The toilet boy. Yeah, we did the Kiss cruise back in 2015, and we had a gig where we were clashing with Kiss. You never want to play the Kiss cruise where you're on at the same time as Kiss is. I've probably told the story before. But Jeff was dressed as a toilet in the crowd. I said, oh, that's pretty killer. So I don't think the show is on, dude. I think it's been postponed. I hate to say that. I think all the shows in July have been postponed. So we want to come, but it's just not the right time, the right place right now. So we will we'll be back. Forge is a great venue for us. Lance Andrew Harding sounds like a serial killer. Lance Andrew Harding was a mild-mannered man. What's the story with the name Fozzy? Interesting. So when we first started, Rich Ward and I met kind of as you do, as bands do, just kind of somewhere not really wanting to meet each other or looking for anybody. And we found each other and decided that we wanted to put together a band. And Rich was already in a covers band in Atlanta called Fozzy Osbourne. And what Fozzy Osbourne was is any musicians that were around in Atlanta at the time, which is like Seven Dust and Clutch and those type of bands, would just come and jam. So when I told Rich that I wanted to form a band, at the time I wanted to start putting a band together and going out on the road. And Rich was like, well, why don't you come play with us? And I just sprained my ankle in a match with Scott Steiner, so I was off for a couple months. I said, well, I'll go to Atlanta and we'll do a couple of shows. And we did a show. I think the first one ever was at the Hangar in Marietta, Georgia. And there's another one in South Carolina, Magnolia Street Pub. And there was a guy that was angry because he drove up from Florida expecting to see Ozzy. And it was Fozzy. It's the Magnolia Street Pub in 1999. Ozzy's not playing any pubs in 99, but he was really angry with that. So anyways, we were Fozzy Osbourne. And then when we started to play these shows, we actually had a bidding war for our services because of who was in the band. And of course, Chris Jericho at the time, Stuck Mojo was huge. Rich Ward and Frank Fonseca were from Stuck Mojo. So it was kind of like this ipso facto supergroup. And we had a bidding war. And back in 89, believe it or not, like, sorry, 99, before the world went, the recording world went insane, we got a big advance with Megaforce Records. And Megaforce, of course, is the record label that started Metallica and started what else did they do? Raven, Anthrax, Megaforce Records, you know, all the big bands from that time frame started on Megaforce. And they had restarted and they wanted to sign Fozzy Osbourne. And we said, we can't be Fozzy Osbourne. Like, we're going to get crucified. Sharon will grab us or whatever. And we're trying to think ideas. And one of the songs that we did in the first Fozzy record or second Fozzy record was Big City Nights. We're going to call ourselves the Big City Nights, K-N-I-G-H-T-S. It was almost our name, the Big City Nights. And then we said, why don't we just drop the Osbourne and call ourselves Fozzy? And that's where it all came from. And at first, what a weird, strange name, but so is Metallica. Think about that when you first hear it at a contest. Kiss? Why not Hug with two G's? How about Red Hot Chili Peppers, Black Eyed Peas, Halloween, AC/DC? Very strange names when you first hear them. Duran Duran, Def Leppard. I mean, come on, right? Mr. Bungle. So names are just a name, and Fozzy's now our name. I'll tell you what, it is the best song to chant at a show. And we get chants for Fozzy everywhere because it's easy. Fozzy, Fozzy, Fozzy. So you can't really chant Rage Against the Machine. Not as good of a name, right? So what ends up being such a strange name ends up being a great one in the long run. So that's where it came from. Mr. Hellstorm, how'd you guys get Butch Walker on the first record? Butch Walker's a super talented singer-songwriter. He did most of the Avril Lavigne stuff, and I think he was involved with Pink, but he was also in a band back in the 90s called South Gang and then the Marvelous Three. They were an Atlanta band, and Butch was in the scene. And for some reason, we were having problems with my vocal and Over the Mountain. It was the first time I'd ever been in a studio, so there were certain things that I just couldn't do, and Ozzy was very hard. Over the Mountain. I think I did that part. And he said, don't need a volunteer. You don't need a ticket to ride with me. I'll see. Yeah. I think I was having problems singing that. So we wanted somebody to do a guest guitar solo on the record, and Butch is going to do it. So he said, will you sing as well? And that's kind of how Butch got involved. I don't know what Butch is doing now. I do know that a few years ago, he was caught in those California fires and lost all of his demos and masters and lost his guitars. But Butch Walker, very, very great player and a great guy for sure. David Andrew Finley, a Fozzy for Glastonbury in 2021. All the best from Nanaimo. Why is a guy from Nanaimo asking me about Glastonbury, which is the famous English festival? We would love to play Glastonbury. Download is our favorite festival. If you haven't heard Talk is Jericho with Andy Copping, that I did earlier this week. It was a great show. Andy's a great guy, and we've played there 4 times. And Andy has built us up from the side stage to the middle stage to main stage, where we played there 2x. So I would love to go to Glastonbury, but only on the main stage. We've now made a rule with Fozzy that we're only doing main stage from now on. We don't care what the offer is or who else on the thing. We're a main stage band, and we're going to stick up for ourselves and make sure that we get treated as such. So if we do Glastonbury, it will be on the main stage. All right, Simon Ouellette. See, I know how to pronounce that because I'm from French Canada. Ouellette, also the name of Pierre Ouellette, who was the pirate guy. He's now, what's his name now? PCO. And I think Maurice's real last name is Ouellette, if I'm not mistaken. So there you go, a little Ouellette trivia. Will you do another quarantine track? I would love to hear All Night, or is that you? Well, first of all, for quarantine, the rules are they have to be Kiss Unmasked, not the album, which Is That You is from, more of the Bruce Kulick non-makeup era. And like I said, we're trying to stay away from the songs that were videos and singles. But we do have a couple more in the chamber that we're working on that are going to blow your mind. And don't forget, this Friday, June 26th, we have Heart of Chrome coming out with Bruce Kulick. So it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a really, really good one. Okay. If Fozzy was to collaborate, Ticking Time Bomb, is that Hiromu there? I don't think this is the real Hiromu. If it is, cheers. Cheers, guys. Someone asked what I was drinking, and that's it. Little Grey Goose. If Fozzy was to collaborate with the singer Dead or Alive, who would it be? The singer from Dead or Alive. What's his name? Pete Burns. You spin me right round, baby, right round, like a record, baby, right round, round, round. But if a singer, that was Chris Barretta, asked what I was drinking. Oh, gosh. I mean, it's hard to say. Whenever we've had guest songs on Fozzy tunes, it's always been because the guy fit the tune. It was never stunt casting, like Wanderlust, Such a Sabbath vibe. So have Black, have Zach Sabbath, Black was his name. Zach Wilde on the guitar was great. Very fitting. Michael Starr on Tonight really worked. Jeff Waters on Martyr No More. Even Miles Kennedy on Nameless Faceless. We've always had some really cool guests when it's applicable. Hiro the Hero on 3 Days in Jail. So singer Dead or Alive, I mean, who would I do a great duet with? You guys tell me. I mean, Axl Rose, Bruce Dickinson, Paul McCartney, Mick Jagger. I mean, whatever, man. You tell me. We actually do have a duet on this new record, with a female, but she's recorded her parts, and then the Rona came, and I have no idea how the song even goes, so hopefully soon we'll get a chance to record that. So Andrea Bernard, what match do you like better, Omega 12 or Tanahashi at 14? Tanahashi. I really enjoyed the Tanahashi match. Because you hear guys sometimes like, how good is that guy? And you're like, oh, I've heard he's good. When you actually get in there with somebody and realize, and this guy is really good. He's a real genius. Huge fan of Tanahashi, and I really enjoyed that match that we had at the Tokyo Dome, which seems like it was 15 years ago. It was like February, March, April, May. It was 5 months ago. 6 months ago. Seems like it was years ago with all this craziness that's going on. Allison, can't even see me. Kilroy, I'm Kilroy. Kilroy. Kudos to you and AW for never missing a beat since the beginning of the pandemic. You give us all a brief escape from the day-to-day stress of our world. Thank you and AEW for your professionalism and what you do comes through all of us. Thank you. Well, we really had no choice. We wanted to keep the fire burning, keep the lights on. And that's what we did, knowing that we have a responsibility to entertain you guys. Like I said, I'm not a carpenter. I can't fix your cabinet. I can't fix your oil. I can barely change a light bulb, as my wife will tell you, but I can entertain. And that's why I'm still doing the Saturday special. We're still stuck inside. And this is something for us to look forward to, just like AEW is week after week. So we appreciate you shouting us out on that one. Scott Clovis, what Christian rock bands do you like? Well, obviously Stryper is my favorite. They're on the Jericho Cruise. That was a huge get for us. Very excited about that. White Cross, Bride, Guardian, Tourniquet, Sacred Warrior, Bloodgood, all those are great Christian bands you might want to check out. To this day, they're just great bands to this day. There's a great Bloodgood documentary called Trenches of Rock as well. It's not streaming yet, but on DVD. Those of you who still use DVDs, it's worth checking out. So, and also, like I said, Stryper and Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, the Triple Whammy, which is now sold out, but put your name on the waiting list. Steve Nunez, are you a fan of Nirvana? What's your favorite song besides Smells Like Teen Spirit? I was really behind the times with Nirvana. I didn't get into them until I was living in Mexico. No, later than that, probably 95 was when they were hot. So probably 2000, 2002. I was very late to the party with Cobain, which is so crazy because I was right in that wheelhouse. When Nirvana first came out, I was 20 years old, full of angst, full of anger, vitriol. You would have thought that Nirvana would have been my pariahs, but I was too much into Metallica and Maiden and that sort of stuff. As I look back, I realized that Kurt Cobain was a genius. The energy, the aggression, the aggro of Nirvana, it's right up my alley. I almost wish I would have gotten into them back, like I said, back when they first came out. But his career was so short. Talk about a candle in the wind. So to go back and listen to that stuff, it's really poignant. It reminds me of a different time. But the music, the aggression, like I said, seeing them get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Joan Jett play guitar and sang. I mean, it was perfect. Like, they're totally a modern day Joan Jett punk rock slash combined with the Beatles slash combined with Sabbath. What's your favorite song? I mean, Teen Spirit's great, but obviously that's the hit. A Heart-Shaped Box, Rape Me. Rape Me is so brutal, man. Rape Me. There's so many good ones, though, man. What's now? Breed. I mean, how can you go wrong with Breed? Lithium. I mean, so many great tunes. So God bless Kurt Cobain and God bless Nirvana. Let's see. Oh, here's a nice one. Favorite song by Cinderella. Would you ever collaborate with Tom Kiefer, Cinderella? Probably not, but I love the whole, I was actually listening to it today. What's it called? Long Cold Winter, Gypsy Road. I love, Falling Apart at the Seams. So great. Falling! Ooh! Falling apart at the seams. Such a good tune. Come on, dude. You know this. Will there be a Fight for the Fallen event this July? Will be my birthday month. P-Vins. Yes, there'll be a Fight for the Fallen event July 1st and July 8th will be the Fighter Fest. So it's going to be like a big pay-per-view spread over two shows. And that's where you will see, Jericho versus Orange Cassidy. So check that out. Doug Starkuzzi, have you ever thought of starting your own wrestling company? Bet you would run one just because Vince does. Well, I kind of have not started my own wrestling company in a financial starter way, but as far as an attitude and a leadership way, I wouldn't change anything that I've done with AEW, and it's a pleasure to be there and really enjoy it. So there you go. Okay, this is a good one. Ask me anything, guys. It's your time. What's your favorite KISS lineup? Eric, Tommy, Ace, and Peter. Oh, out of those two, my favorite KISS lineup is Gene, Paul, Bruce Kulick, and Eric Carr / Eric Singer. I love that era. But if it's between Eric and Tommy or Ace and Peter, I mean, Eric and Tommy are great, but Ace and Peter are the classics. I think Eric and Tommy do a great job of playing their songs, but there's not a lot of new Kiss material that they play that Eric's been involved on. So Eric Singer, that is. So I'm going to go for Ace and Peter, but my favorite is Bruce Kulick and Eric Carr. All right. If I threw you $20, would you fight the neighborhood clown in my backyard? A fight to the death would be, well, it depends. Is he a ninja? I have to know what that is. Is it a ninja clown or just a neighborhood clown? So tell me that and get back to me. Kim Hackney, you and Sammy, very entertaining. Crack me up. I work in a COVID unit at a hospital in Tennessee, so enjoy watching you. Thank you, Kim. What a true first in line, first responder. Appreciate that. And Sammy and I are having a great time, and we've got a long history ahead of us for sure. Joseph Perez, where did you come up with the Champion nickname? I don't know. I don't know what pops into my weird head sometimes. Luther. I think I was just trying to think of something obnoxious. I just thought Le Champion, like it's like, I don't speak French, but I'm from Canada where I took 10 years of French or whatever the hell it was. And I just thought Le Champion sounds so pretentious and so pompous. Like who would call me? Like, I'm just gonna call myself the champion in French. And once again, like I said earlier, like Brian Pillman told me, it's something that's never been done before. So I think that is where I came up for it, to it. And then, like I said, when we did Le Sex Gods, it should be Les Sex Gods, but it's Le Sex. So Le Champion, I did it because it's pompous and it's ridiculous and I thought it was funny. And that's why I do most of the stuff I do. Thankfully, you guys feel the same. Paul Verbruggen, that'd be a good name for a rock and roll band. Verbruggen, would you please welcome live from Norway, Verbruggen. Would you please welcome live from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Verbruggen. That's great. If you want to start a band, I would join Verbruggen in a freaking second. What do you think the biggest mistake WWE ever made behind letting you go? Well, letting me go is a big one. And probably behind that, letting Hall and Nash and Hogan go. Yeah, you know, it's the way it goes. Sometimes they underestimate your drawing power or your popularity or whatever it may be. And this is what happens. I told you. All right. I already answered that one. Like I said, Tim LaFountain, how do you feel about Motley Crue and their choice to go? Well, whatever. Listen, I'm excited. I had tickets for the show that was supposed to be on in 2 weeks. They now postponed it to a year from now. A whole year. You're not going to see any rock and roll bands until 2021, except for maybe Fozzy. We're trying to get in there. I love Motley Crue. Their first two records are sacred to me. Not a bad song on any of those records. I just think if they're going to come out and do this tour, that you'd want to gotta choose my words wisely here. Prepare for it accordingly. And when I see Vince Neil doing the cameos and stuff, and he's not in shape, and it doesn't look like he's even trying. Listen, he's Vince Neil. He can do what he wants. He's a legend. One of the, you know, great rock and roll singer. But I just wish if I was going to do a big reunion tour to where we were going to, you know, play stadiums with this. Def Leppard is in road shape. You got to watch out for them because they're amazing. Joan Jett's in road shape. Poison is not, but Poison is the best front man out of all four of those bands, and Bret Michaels. I would never underestimate Bret Michaels. So if I was Vince Neil, I'd want to come out of the gate like in great shape and just looking amazing and sounding amazing. And I didn't see that when they canceled the tour, postponed the tour. He looked exactly the same as he always did. So I just wish he would have tried to, you know, maybe get in some type of better physical shape, which shows me that he cares. But what do I know? I bought tickets. I would go, you know, and I'll be there next year. It's Motley Crue, man. Jason Potvin, are you a Star Trek fan or Star Wars? I want to actually have a Saturday Night Special with that debate and have the Team Tagger Awesome guys on. Are you a Star Trek fan or Star Wars? Wow. As you can see, if you look right over here, those are the original Star Trek dolls right there. You can see Klingon, there's Kirk, there's Uhura, there's Spock, there's Scotty, and there's Dr. McCoy. That's the original Star Trek dolls. So I love Star Trek, but gosh, I don't know. I fell out of Star Trek after Kirk was gone. I never got into Picard, even though I'm sure he's amazing. but I always never got into them after Kirk was gone. So I would say Kirk Spock era Star Trek. Yeah, it's hard. The Han Solo, Leia, Luke era. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I think I like them both the same. I probably give the edge to Star Wars because there's been more big budget movies and I followed along with it for so long, but I did not follow along with Star Trek after Kirk left. So I got to go with Star Wars, but gosh, I just watched the Leonard Nimoy documentary. If you guys haven't seen that, For the Love of Spock, definitely go check that out. It's on Netflix. And also today, if you guys want to post your favorite quotes from the movie Blues Brothers, it's the 40th anniversary of the Blues Brothers today, which is great. I love it. You want four fried chickens and a Coke, Jake, and some dry white toast. Elwood, the Blues Brothers. The Blues Brothers? Shit. Aretha Franklin is awesome. You better think what you're trying to do to me. Such a great movie. One of my all-time favorites. If you haven't seen the Blues Brothers, if you haven't seen it in a while, go watch it now. It's the 40th anniversary today. And I'm kind of bummed out. I should have been on top of that and done a talk as Jericho about the 40th anniversary of the Blues Brothers. The Blues Brothers? Shit. I love that. Brandon McKenzie, Backlash 09 was one of my favorite events I attended. So thank you for that great match with Steamboat. Love, love, love working with Steamboat. When we originally did that angle, it was supposed to be with Mickey Rourke. It was for WrestleMania, whatever WrestleMania 2009 was. You guys know more than I do. And it was supposed to be me and Mickey Rourke. And Mickey went on the red carpet at the SAG Awards and kind of let the cat out of the bag, which he was not supposed to. He wasn't supposed to announce it until after the Oscars. And then once he announced that he was going to be wrestling me at WrestleMania, his agents and managers went crazy. And all of those plans were pulled off the table and he was out of the match. So Vince is like always believer in bringing out the negative and turning into a positive. And so I had to wrestle with three guys. And his idea was the two rules were they had to be in the WWE Hall of Fame and they had to be in the first WrestleMania. So his idea was Snuka, Piper, and Greg Valentine. And I was like, Vince, I mean, God bless all those guys, but none of those guys can hardly move. It's not going to be a good match because it's not supposed to be a good match. I'm like, it's WrestleMania. I want to try. So I had a couple suggestions. I suggested Jerry Lawler. And he's like, well, he wasn't in the first WrestleMania. I'm like, well, whose rules are these? They're your rules. No one's going to know. And then I suggested Ricky Steamboat. He was going into the Hall of Fame that year in 09, and he was in the first WrestleMania. So he put Ricky in there and we had just a great match. I said it's kind of crazy that Ricky Steamboat at 50, whatever he was still a better worker than 90% of the roster. And then Vince liked him so much, they brought him in to do a rematch with me. And then we did Hawaii and we did Greensboro, South Carolina. We did a couple of the house shows and they ended up making him a player coach for a while. And he was wrestling and coaching guys at the same time. So just a pleasure to be in the ring with. He was on the first Rock and Wrestling Rage at Sea. Got to have him on my podcast live and nothing but respect for Ricky Steamboat. And if you've ever seen the picture of me and Ricky from when I was a kid in high school, it was quite the picture. I'll try and find it. How big of a fan of you are Helloween? And have you guys ever opened up for them in any festivals? Wow. We played a festival with Helloween in Hungary, which was the first time we ever played Hungary, but being in there with Helloween and kind of being a part of that scene was amazing. And Helloween is a huge influence on me. I even got my name from them, if you remember that. So Helloween was a big part of my early days. And I found the picture. I just have to pull it up right now. Hold on a second. Yeah. Helloween was huge for me. And very excited to play that show with them. I actually got a chance to ride back to the venue with Marcus Grosskopf. And we had a blast. So there you go. Here we go. Here's the picture of me and Steamboat coming up now. Boom. Can you see it? Let me get back. Can you guys see that picture? I hope you can see it. Yes. There you go. Look at that. So the picture here, this is at World of Wheels in about 1988. I had just gotten my license and I'm wearing my Westwood Collegiate Letterman's jacket from hockey. And I've got, I don't know what the, kind of the deal is with this shirt here. My mouth is open. I've got a piece of gum in my mouth, if you can see that. And Ricky Steamboat's got his eyes closed. So there you go. That was my big picture with Steamboat. And years later, we actually used this picture for the WrestleMania buildup, where I showed him, I've been a fan of yours since I was 17. You let me down. That was the picture we took. And I remember I waited in line for 3 hours and I got to ask one question. I asked him after 3 hours of waiting, how tall are you? He's like 5'11", 235. And I said, okay, if he's 5'11", 235, then I got to be 5'11", 235. So there you go. Good stuff, right? Larry Francis says, what was your favorite book to write? Amp Dick in the fifth one. Wow, the favorite book to write was the first one and the newest one. No is a four-letter word. The first one because it was my first book. Didn't really know what I was doing. And thanks to the guidance of Pete Fornatale, who was my co-writer on that. He taught me so much about everything. How to write a book, how to put it together, how to edit it. And he helped me with all my books. And then, of course, No is a four-letter word. I really enjoyed that because it was more of a self-help book rather than an autobiography. So hard to write books. It takes a lot of time. Not that I do anything for money, but the financial reward is less and less and less than it has been. But if you're going to write a book, you're putting 200-300-400 hours into it easy. And don't even get me started on those audiobooks. I hate that shit. So on the fifth one, I've got a lot of stories to tell, but I'm actually going to do something special for my 30th anniversary, which is coming out on October 2nd, 2020. I've kept a log of every single match I've ever had from the first one, October 2nd, 1990 in Pinoca, Alberta, up until, you know, freaking Jericho, the Sex Gods versus Best Friends. I might be the only wrestler ever to do that for 30 years to keep a log of all of his matches. So I'm putting them all into a database now, and I might do a self-published kind of, you know, the true list of Jericho and do something with that. So I don't know if you guys are interested in seeing every match I've ever had in my career. Is that something that'd be interesting to you? If it is, let me know. Jesse Moore, of all the great musicians you met, which ones you fanboy over the most? Obviously McCartney. I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where Ringo got inducted, I believe it was in 15, and he was up front. And I was in the back with my wise cousin, Chad. And I noticed that when everybody stands up, you can't tell whose table is which. So I just said, follow me. And we walked through the entire crowd until we ended up right in front of Paul and Ringo, little guys, especially Ringo. And Green Day was playing. And they were playing American Idiot. Hey! Hey! And McCartney's just going, hey! So I'm joining him. Hey! Hey! So finally the show ends and he's going back to wherever he's going to. And he's kind of walking here and there's a line of tables here. And there's a lane in between them. So I'm walking here. He's walking here. And as he gets to there, we happen to meet. And I'm like, hey, what a coincidence. Paul McCartney, how are you? I said, I see you got some security guards with you on the front. But if any ninjas trying to attack you from behind, I got your back. And he's looking at him. He's like, ninjas? And I'm like, yeah, ninjas. He's like, okay. And I'm like, hey, high five, Paul. So he high fives me. And I'm like, yes. Just me and cousin Chad are dancing up and down. So we go to the after party after, and he's sitting with Joe Walsh. He sounds like such a David Coverdale. He's sitting with Joe Walsh and Paul McCartney right there. And there's like a big buffet. This is the after party for the Rock and Roll of Fame. And Chad and I are watching McCartney just kind of standing there watching him. And there's like some cheese on a tray and, you know, deli meat or whatever. So McCartney finally gets up and people are taking pictures of him and they're being super rude. And I'm like, I don't need to take a picture with him. You know, I wanted Chad to be able to take a picture with him, my cousin. And finally, he's getting harassed and bothered. And I had done this before for Bill Murray and Lars Ulrich, where they're getting harassed by people. I said, do you need some help? I'll guide you to the door. I'll tell people to get away because they think I'm some goofy security guard anyway. So Bill and Lars both appreciated it. Paul, on the other hand, was like, I said, Paul, if you have any problems with anybody, just let me know and I'll take care of it. He looks at me and goes, who are you, man? Are you security or are you a cameraman? I'm like, a camera? It made him sound like Lemmy. Who are you, man? And I'm like, I don't understand what you mean. Like, does he think like I'm like a spy or something like that? So I said, no, I'm not. And he's like, listen, if I have any problems with anybody here, or any ninjas, I'll let you know, okay? And he gives him a look like, F off, kid. And all I could think of was, he remembered the ninjas. He remembered the ninjas. He remembers me as the ninja guy. I'm the ninja guy. So if I ever see Paul McCartney again, I'm going to tell him, I'm the ninja guy. Remember me? So there you go. Ah, McCartney. Oh, my gosh. Purushottam Mitra. Do you plan to collaborate with M Shadows again? I loved collaborating with M Shadows, but I actually collaborated with another member of Avenged Sevenfold for another quarantine group that's going to be coming out fairly soon. I will keep you posted on that. It's pretty excited. Pretty exciting. I think you're going to dig it. It's a great little super group that we put in there. Pamela Morrow. Oh, there's Bret Michaels right there. He'd be the best front man of the stadium tour. Please wish my black Labrador Belle a sweet 16th birthday. Hello, happy birthday, Belle. We have a chocolate Labrador and a silver Labrador. So Labrador people understand. Yeah, boy. Corey Sampson, were you scared of facing Undertaker? I wasn't scared, but I only worked with Undertaker a few times in my career in WWE. And they were towards the end of the career. And that's when you stand in that ring as a Puerto Rico, I think, or something. And you stand in the ring and you've heard it on TV, you've watched it on TV, and you hear the bong, the Taco Bell bong. You're like, oh my gosh, here he comes. Lights go in. And when he comes in the ring, he goes, this guy is super in character. He is the Undertaker at this moment. So it's intimidating. He doesn't play around. He doesn't smile in the ring. Or like, eh. He plays, and he never turns his head. He goes to the front. He goes to the side. He goes in. He's like on a pivot. Boom, 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 boom. So super intimidating, super great, and just a blast to be with. And the first match I ever had with him was amazing, and we only had a couple other run-ins since then. But the one little trivia note is the last time I ever won the WWE title, was it the last time? Yeah, it was in 2010 from The Undertaker. So there you go. We got a YouTube question here. It says, who would you like to see play Lemmy in the upcoming biopic? Is it biopic or biopic? I'm not sure. Someone asked me if I'd like to play Lemmy. You need someone... I'm thinking from a look standpoint, and he has some mainstream credibility. James Franco. I can see James Franco playing that part. I think he'd be great. Sacha Baron Cohen might be kind of good too, but he's kind of goofy. I'm going to say James Franco would be a good one. That was from Jason Tucker on YouTube. Thank you. We're still rocking as we go down here. We're starting to wind down here. We're going to do the... Bryce, thanks for making Jacksonville a cool place of AEW. AEW is our home for sure. So thank you. There's Jason's question. So thank you guys for watching us. We would love to have people in the crowds. I don't think we're there yet, but hopefully we will be there very, very soon. Alberto says, you rock, bro. Hi from Panama. Huge Jericho fan. Thank you so much. I love that. Here's the one. Any good or funny Rip Rogers stories? Do you remember thing? I remember about Rip Rogers, old school brother from Calgary. He actually trained many people in the Ohio Valley area, OVW, I think it was. I just remember Rip used to like go around and like ask me, you finish with that? Like if you're in a food, in a den, you finish with that? You mean this whole thing of home fries? Like, sure, Rip. You finished that? You mean this like one egg? Sure, take it. I do remember too, Axel Rotten and Hack Myers. What a name. Used to make lemonade out of water, packets of sugar, and lemons. They would actually make make lemonade out of that. All right. As we get towards the end here, what's your favorite Striper song? I guess we'll find out on the cruise. I love, gosh, their new stuff is great. Wait till you hear the new album, Even the Devil Believes. I know some people, so I heard already. It's crazy. It's really, really great. But I'd say probably The Rock That Makes Me Roll. I think that's the one for me. That's just the epitome of Striper. So hopefully they play it on the Jericho Cruise. Matt Panetta says, besides your Rock and wrestling belt behind you, do you have any other belts at home in your collection? I have a couple I think in storage. I don't really hold on to that sort of stuff. The Rock Wrestle Radio C was something we did. It was a special kind of a one-off we did for fans. And I think that we're going to do more for the upcoming cruise. Favorite Michael Jackson song? Want to be certain something. Billie Jean. Oh, Smooth Criminal. By far, Smooth Criminal is so great, so great. Already purchased my AEW tickets for November 4th. Hopefully the COVID clears by then, so I get a chance to see Le Champion. I hope so. Being the best target in the history of wrestling, what are your thoughts of fans doing promo competition on YouTube? Listen, do it. Anybody who is creative and wants to express themselves, do it. Do it, do it, do it. Give your honest opinion, Nickelback. Love them. We toured with them last year on a short tour. I've got Nickelback on Talk Is Jericho coming up over the next couple weeks too. Amazing band. They have a fan base that loves them, that understands what they do, and Fozzy fit in with them perfectly. Great group of guys. They're Canadians, we expect. I would play with Nickelback anytime, any place, anywhere. Zantastic. Have you wrestled Marty Jannetty? Yes, here's a little known thing. I wrestled him one time for about a minute, and he was the guy that I wrestled that I did the List promo right after. Think about that. So Marty Jannetty, or as Tony Cadello would say, Mary Jannetty, is a big part of Chris Jericho history. Chris Zerbe, if you give any advice to someone entering wrestling business, what would it be? Quit. That was Dave Mustaine's famous response when he was in Metallica. Do you have any advice for any upcoming musicians that want to be in a band? Give up. Just don't give up, man. Do your thing. If you think that you can do it, don't listen to anybody that tells you can't do something. They probably have failed at their own dreams. I think it's if you want to do it, make it happen, and just go out there and believe in yourself, man. That's the best way to do it. All right, last few questions. Luke Conroy, what's your favorite Fawlty Towers episode? Mrs. Richards. Excuse me, is this a piece of your brain? That's great. Dragonfly. Small. His name is Dragonfly. So good. And also the Waldorf salad, like with the angry American who essentially, incidentally, is in Empire Strikes Back. So you guys are looking for a laugh, definitely go to Fawlty Towers and watch Mrs. Richards and the Waldorf salad. I'm sorry, sir. It appears that we are all out of Waldorfs.
What? You're all out of Waldorfs? It's grapes. It's salad dressing. It's walnuts. It's lettuce.
I'm sorry, sir. We're all out of Waldorfs. Great stuff. All right. Kevin, shout out to your dad, Carl. First time viewer. We love you. Le Champion. All right. Thank you, guys.